Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everyone. This is another edition of the Gregory Crawford on Sports Business Show. We do this show every Tuesday night at 10 p.m. Pacific time, and we're happy to have you on board listening. And once again, as I always say, if you can't listen live, just go to www.blogtalkradio.com and punch in Gregory Crawford on Sports Business, and you'll get every single show that we've ever done. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I'd love that. You can do that at WC Hoops, just like it sounds. I don't tweet every day, but I do put out a lot of tweets, and social media is kind of fun if you do it the right way. We do a lot of segmented shows every Tuesday, and we bring people on each week that are really important, not only to the world of sports, but we do wellness, we do health, a lot of things, and that's our topic tonight when we always talk to Dr. Dan Beeson from the Beeson Wellness Center in beautiful Sellwood, Oregon. And Dr. Beeson's on with us every second Tuesday. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing fine, thank you, Greg. Good to speak with you.
Good to speak with you. This show is extremely popular. I can hardly wait till each second Tuesday of the month. We're going to keep it going forever. We never miss. And as we start our good weather, Dr. Beeson, you know, people, we're going to really start to get into a little hot weather here and continuous, a lot of activities out there and all that other good stuff. And it's important to take care of your extremities, correct?
That is correct, because let's look at the extremities as being the, we have the foot, ankle, knee, hip, which all kind of go together as a chain. And how will those work is how well our pelvis and spine will do. And then we have our shoulder, elbow, wrist, hand combination. Those must work together well. And then I call the other extremity is the TMJ, the temporomandibular joint of our jaw joint is another extremity, and that is of all the joints in the body, the one that has the greatest input for sensory stress in our body to interfere with how our nervous system works.
And obviously you deal in that with your patients a lot, talk as we often do, the most common problems with those areas. There's a lot of areas there. Actually, I got to be honest, there's too many body parts, but we can't eliminate any of them, right?
That's correct.
What do you see the most? What can we do to improve things the most? And a part of good health, is it fair to say, is prevention? And I know you work really hard on that at the Beeson Wellness Center.
You know, prevention is the name of the game, but our whole society's been set up for crisis management. Everybody waits till they're in pain, and many times the pain is the is brought on at the last crisis. The body's screaming out that there's this problem, and it's been going on for years, so there's been degeneration and breakdown in a joint, and the cartilage is gone, the muscles are deteriorated. And so we're into this whole society now of waiting to do things late. And, you know, it's great. We got hip replacements, knee replacements. There's even an ankle replacement. But they're very expensive. I have to say hip replacements, a lot of people do very well with them. But what would be better would be to keep your own hip joints, your own knee joints, doing very well. I won't brag, but I'm 69. As you know, I played basketball up to this last year, and my hip joints have good cartilage, my knee joints do, as well as my ankles. Well, how does that take place? For those who are listening out there, some of them don't know that I'm, you know, 6'8" and weigh well over 280 pounds. And so it has nothing to do with weight and height. It has to do whether your joints are working properly. When joints are working properly, they stimulate the cartilage to keep growing more cartilage at the right rate and replace what is being worn out, and you keep your cartilage just throughout life. So I can go into, if you'd like me to how that can happen, how things can break down.
Yeah, I would love that. I think our listeners, more important than me, I think our listeners would love that.
Well, let's just start out with a simple, someone sprains their ankle really bad. And after 4 or 5 weeks, and even if they had a little mild avulsion fracture, the tip of the fibula or whatever, they'll be able to get back and walk on it. But that ankle, if it's not checked properly by a physician that knows how to check it, and if it's not in its right position, will be somewhat, most of the time, turned in just a little bit. In other words, most people, after they sprain an ankle, which is a inversion sprain where they stretch it on the outside, that ankle calcaneus heel bone will be turned inward just a little bit. And in walking that way, then the knee rotates, the tibia, the shin bone, rotates the opposite way and begins a knee problem. And then that compensates up in your hip with the hip turning internal wise, and you're running on cartilage that's at all the time in one position. So our hip joint, every joint needs to go through its normal range of motion, and it stimulates the cartilage to grow new cartilage. And when it gets stuck in one little position, you may still think it's moving, but the majority of the time, it's working in one position. And then when you do something extraordinary or you have a new slip or fall, you may change that position. And so you you put motion into tissue that has not been stimulated, and now it's weaker, so it breaks down. And what's unbelievable is when the body is sitting, when a joint's sitting in one position, it will produce an enzyme in there to break down the cartilage, thinking it's doing the right thing to make space. So the body's designed to do its own surgeries, but when it's just stuck there, it will do it in the wrong position. So the simple answer is you keep your ankles, your knees, and your hips in alignment and functioning right. Now, my observation is on this planet Earth that the only profession that really knows how to work with that and do it well is the chiropractic profession. And I'll give a little credit to the physical therapists. Some are getting into alignment of joints, but most of them don't have a scope of practice where they can use manipulation to rearrange and put the joint in its proper position. And manipulation of joints and putting them in the right position is very skillful, has to be done correctly. It takes speed and accuracy to get past the muscle stretch and allow the joint to be repositioned. And that's one thing that chiropractors are really good at, and it's one thing that I've really worked and specialized in is being able to balance joint function, all the joints in the body.
Let me ask you a question about joints and your body in general. You know, I walk a lot. I have a little bit of pain in the knees. How much pain is bad pain? You know, should you have pain? Is that normal? Should you not have any pain? And I realize everybody's a little bit different, but kind of go over what kind of pain should be there, or is there any normal pain?
Well, that's a very good question. And your listeners here, I think, are going to be very surprised how I answer this. A arthritic joint does not have to produce any pain. Arthritis doesn't produce pain. That joint will only produce pain when it's aggravated, irritated, to a point when it's not functioning right. So alignment of a joint and its proper motion is the most important thing. And if a joint's aligned and moving properly, it won't produce pain. Now, you can go out and overdo something in the weekend, or you can, let's say you jumped off your roof 8 or 9 feet by accident. You're going to have pain and soreness. You stretch things very rapidly. But that'll heal up. And, of course, if you landed on your ankle and turned it or twisted it, you'd want to have it checked and make sure it's in alignment and check the knee alignment and the hip alignment. So someone says, well, do you need to actually go to a chiropractic physician every time you have an injury? And I'd say, well, number one, if you have a chiropractic physician, you've gone through corrective care, whatever problems he found on your initial visit, he'd work up a program and say, got a bad ankle, we got a knee out of alignment and a hip, that's affecting your back. So you go through a corrective care plan and you get all those things working as best possible. Now, if you wait till you're 70 years old to do it, it takes more time. and the stability of that spine is not as good as someone who starts out younger. If you keep it, if you get things lined up from childhood, and we got families, they're studying their kids, you know, at 8, 10, 12 years of age and keep them checked regularly. They're going to go into life with their joints aligned and they're not going to break down and deteriorate and they're going to do very well. So keeping joints moving right is the best thing to do. So that person, if they are under care and have a chiropractic physician, with some kind of error in their activities that weekend, for example, they would run in on Monday, get checked over, and get the simple alignments corrected before it does any deterioration or breakdown.
Dr. Beeson, when I'm talking with friends or people in business that I work with or various people, and I talk to a lot of people, I do hear from time to time, and I'm glad it's from time to time and not every day, that, well, I'm not making a connection with the doctor that I'm going to, or he's not listening to me. By coincidence, I happen, and you didn't know this till I said it just now, I happened to talk to two of your patients this week, and they were raving about not only your care, but the fact that you really listened to them, like you really were really engaged when you talked to them. How did you develop that philosophy, and how important is that I just talked about, besides giving good clinical care?
Well, you know, one of the most important things, and when you go to a physician, 80% of the time, 80% of the diagnosis is made by taking a good history. That means listening to the patient and, you know, quizzing and investigating more what they have to say. So I was trained that way. I worked that way. And so I'm sitting there taking notes on what's coming out of that history. And then I make a decision what direction to go diagnostically. So the testing we start doing is to rule in and rule out. So I take a knee joint, for example. Then I start doing some various tests that are provocative. They challenge that joint. And what causes the pain? Where is it? A muscle test, figure out the imbalance, and then look at an x-ray. And then with my hands also, I can determine malposition of a knee joint. And then we may then we'll go into the treatment. But the key is, I think in our physical approach, when I'm examining the patient, I'm giving them the positive and negative feedbacks on my exact findings. I'm saying, oh, that joint maneuver we just performed is negative, and it shows that we don't have a problem there. And this one's positive, indicating this. So I just communicate and talk with the patient, try to bring them up to date. And I really maybe feel like I had to do that from the very beginning, because only 15% of the population use the chiropractic profession. And so I think we're always trying to make sure we educate on our approach and our procedures. It's really interesting. A knee exam, for example, in an orthopedic office probably isn't much different from what I do, except we go one step further. Once we figure out what tissue is broken down and not working right, then I'm going to put the joint back into its proper function. So our examination chiropractically goes on a little further to determine the position of the joint and its misalignment and what's holding it out of alignment. Where a surgeon would say, well, this is the tissue I need to remove just so I can cut away some things and maybe not have so much pain or impingement or pinching of that tissue in there. We're rearranging and realigning and getting the body back to working the way it is. And so I'm always educating and communicating what we're doing, because what we do is a lot different than what medicine or physical therapy offers.
All right, I'm going to put your czar hat on. You're the czar of healthcare. You only get to make one change. What change would you make? What's the most important thing that we could change right now that would make healthcare much better and much more pertinent?
If every citizen of the United States had a chiropractic plan that allowed them to have a full examination of every joint that's having problems, or a good full screening of the body, and go through a corrective program and get things working properly would change the health of this country. And here's why. Every joint would work better and wouldn't deteriorate at the rate it is. That doesn't mean somebody can't get in a car wreck or fall off their bike and break something and destroy a joint. That can't be prevented. But the spinal cord lies inside the vertebral, the spinal column. And the spinal cord is the second brain in the body. And that brain, the second brain in the body, runs the health of your brain. And your total health comes from your brain. Everything that's directed into your body comes from your brain. So if we could give people better functioning joints, a functional spine, a healthier nervous system, we'd change the health of this country.
Probably isn't a person living in America right now. And I'm sure knowing the way things are going in this world and all the advancement, we've probably got a few dead people listening as well. But whether you're 3 months old or you're 93 years old, you probably had a blood test. How does blood relate to all of this? And talk about the importance of blood. It's a subject that people get squeamish about, but, you know, boy, it's pretty darn important to your health.
Well, blood is one of your major fluids that conducts all your nutrients through your body. There is cerebral spinal fluid in the brain and spinal cord, which is blood without the red blood cells. So you might say it's still an extension of blood. You know, blood's called the lifeline of the body. It has the nutrition and nutrients and oxygen, carries all the oxygen our cells need and carries away the waste products of carbon dioxide. It carries away the waste products of cells, gets them to the kidneys or the bowel to be excreted. And healthy blood is just absolutely important. And that comes about from, again, nutritional intake is so important. And the typical American diet is a little hard on the body.
Let me ask you a question about a body part that doesn't get talked about too much unless somebody gets a plastic surgery. But what is the importance of your nose and everything that goes along with that?
Well, if you're correctly breathing, you're breathing in through your mouth, in through your nose and out through your mouth. And it's got a filtration system in there. So there's early filtration. And then you've got these little spaces in there, and that's early oxygen right to the capillaries in your nose. And there's some mild exchange of oxygen there close to the brain. And for example, if your lungs were almost full of water and you could still kind of get pumped some air back and forth in, through your mouth and nose, you might survive for a while because you're getting an exchange there. So the nose is, you know, is the start of taking in air and filtering it and getting it back into the cranium and then down our throat and down to the, into the lungs.
Let me ask you about, Beeson Wellness Center in general. And I like to do this because we get new listeners all the time. And it also reinforces our old listeners who are very important to us. And that's why we do this program. Give us your location. And then tell us, what if I just walked in? I'm going to play the walk in off the street. But I'm very interested. What would happen in that case?
Okay. So I've been located in Selwood. We overlook Oaks Park on 13th Avenue. And the address is 7215 Southeast 13th. And I'm proud to say that March was 42 years in the building. And the door's open. And if, let's say somebody, it happens once or twice a week, someone walks in without even giving a phone call, and they're still a little skeptical or they want to know whether I can help them, we offer a consultation with me at no charge. So they would fill out the patient intake. I've got to have that. So they're going to treat them just like they're starting out to be a new patient with the patient intake. And then I sit down one-on-one and go through their history. and I explain from what I can get there. And like I said earlier, 80% of the time it tells me what direction to go. And I give a estimation and guesstimation of time, money, and the direction we go with their problem. You know, it might be as simple as a sprained ankle, which is pretty easy to examine and address, or it might be as complicated as a pinched nerve going down the leg, which certainly requires examination, x-rays, and some time to heal and correct. But we can give an estimation of effort and what it would take. And if they agree, like what's happening, they go back to the intake, they finish the rest of the documentation, and we can usually work them in that day, or they can reschedule for the follow-up visit.
I was reading an interesting story the other day, and I read a lot of this stuff like this about it was actually, you played basketball, and I believe it was in Illinois that a basketball coach, his voice was about to be shot because he'd been talking so much and yelling so much all these years, and he went to his chiropractor, and he gave him some good help with the voice. Obviously, we all would like to have a good voice as long as we live, and it's probably something we don't think about a lot.
Well, I don't know that I can change somebody's voice with working with the body, but certainly you want good circulation in that area, and the cervical vertebra with proper alignment and motion make sure that there's a good feedback mechanism from all the nerves that control blood circulation into that area. And that would be one of the key things I do from a mechanical point of view. Obviously, an exam, you could look that far down in there to make sure that there's no obstructions or growths or anything like that. And then make sure that there's no regurgitation happening from indigestion or problems with the stomach. So there's several things you would look at.
Dr. Beeson, let me ask you about, in conclusion tonight, and great job per usual, a fabulous program. We got a lot of listeners listening all over the country, and we got a lot here in Portland where you and I both live. But, is it safe to say it's never too late to start working on your health? And say we got a person out there that's 70, 75, 65, 80, it's never too late to start a health program. Am I correct in all my statements there?
Well, I think quality of life is what everybody wants. And, yeah, so it's never too late to start trying to improve your quality of life. I had someone start 2 months ago, first chiropractic visit at age 94. She waited till her cervical spine, her neck was in pretty bad shape. She had a pinched nerve down the arm, but we were able to correct that and keep her away from a surgeon. And certainly someone 94 years old doesn't want to go under the knife or be anesthetized, and had a happy outcome there with somebody starting here at 94. Everybody needs to take a good look at what they're doing with their lifestyle and activities. And you are a little bit of what you eat. You need to exercise and move the body. And what we do as chiropractic physicians, putting motion back into all the joints in the body, that allows the joints to be healthy, allows the nervous system good feedback all through the body, and that nervous system stays healthy. And you literally are your nervous system from the point of view of how it runs, regulates, and controls the body directly or indirectly. And when that nervous system goes, you're in trouble because that's what runs the body. And anybody that's under regular chiropractic management and maintenance, and we have tons and tons of people, I see them once a month, everything works really well, could do better. I have some people we see a little more often. Now, this is a little bit of a clinical brag. I just saw the lady today, Ann, I'll say her first name, and not break any of the federal rules, but Ann, I've been her doctor 44 years. She has a central nervous system disease diagnosed 60 years ago. I see her every 2 weeks. I have for 44 years, and she still walks. She uses a wheelchair if she has to go a long distance, but she's staying healthy and doing quite well later in life.
That is great. And, you know, let's see. I'm going to check here and see how much time we have because I want to ask you one more question. And we certainly have enough time for this. We got about 2 minutes in conclusion. You know, it's just getting there to the doctor for most people. And I don't think there's probably a person in America that doesn't have a little bit of fear of going to the doctor. Comment on that, how you overcome that. And on the other hand, you got to go to the doctor to keep well. You've got to get your wellness. It's, as you've talked about here, quality of life. You got to have it. And chiropractors do a great job with their quality of life.
Well, the approach that we use is working with what nature has given us. There's no health or life in a medication. Your body doesn't need medication if it's functioning right. And if it's not functioning right, I really like to try to get it functioning right by getting the body to make its own medicine through nutrition, through getting the digestive system working. And that is, the body many times can heal itself with not a lot of help. In our office, we even have an acupuncturist, we have a naturopath. We need to go up to the next step of higher level diagnostics on the medical side, or even the use of hormones in medicine. So we have all those levels in our office as options, but we always start out with trying to get the body to do its own healing, building its own building blocks out of the food and nutrition that you eat.
Great job tonight, Dr. Dan Beeson. We covered 12 different important subjects. That's a lot for a radio program. We'll talk to you again in the month of July, the second Tuesday. And if you're listening out there for the first time, tell everybody about this program. It comes up the second Tuesday of each month, 10 Pacific time. And if you're a longtime listener, we love it. Just keep listening. Good night, everybody. And Dr. Beeson, thanks for a fabulous program, and more importantly, an informative program to make people's lives better.
You're welcome, and thank you.
And that's Dr. Dan Beeson of the Beeson Wellness Center, beautiful building in Portland, Oregon, in the great district of Selwood, overlooks Oaks Park. Get in there and see him, because I guarantee you he'll make your life better. Good night, everyone. Don't forget to make your free throws.